Veronica followed the strangers as they took cover away from the heat and smoke, next to a pair of cars farther up the block. The driver of the sedan absorbed a torrent of bullets.
Jack, you know what to do.
The albino nodded. He scampered like a white spider between car bumpers. With an underhanded bowling ball pitch, a red can rolled across the street and onto the car the shooters were firing from behind. Then the albino quickly moved back to the position he started out at, grinning madly. Grenades of that type didn't explode, Veronica knew. The car's gas tank hadn't exploded either. Not enough time had elapsed for the heat to reach combustion point. The monsters themselves had exploded, like they had 5 pounds of short-fused C4 stuffed up their butts. Veronica peered over the windowsill and saw the surviving monsters break cover and take off down the sidewalk in the direction of Washington Square Park. Their blocky heads and white shoulders bobbed over the tops of the cars. The monster in front held the frail man she'd seen in the stairwell, carrying the form as if it were a small child, legs bouncing up and down at the knees. When the strangers popped up from behind cover, so did Veronica. They all opened fire. She could see eye patches bullets striking the backs and heads of the retreating monsters. Veronica knew her ballistics. For some reason, what should have been certain kill shots with 7.62mm NATO rounds weren't. She tracked the moving targets over the sights of the Eagle that held fire. Without a clear shot, no way was she going to send 44 Magnum slugs sailing down her own street. The opposition seemed to have a destination in mind. As they disappeared around the corner, Veronica's new friends leapt from between the cars to give pursuit. Again bringing up the rear, Veronica holstered the Eagle as it was awkward and heavy to carry in hand while running. The monsters crossed West 4th Street against the afternoon traffic. They took off along the wide sidewalk that bordered the south side of Washington Square Park, scattering pedestrians and sending them fleeing into the trees. Farther ahead at the corner, a helmeted motorcycle cop jumped the curb and cut off the monster's path. He used his service pistol, but it didn't slow the charge. One of the monsters picked up both Person and Harley and slammed them to the concrete. The enforcer, holding the bundle of meat and metal in its arm, started down the stairs that led below street level. Its brethren followed. They had been to this strange, chaotic, crowded place many times in the service of their shambling master. The fact that they had never before missed the designated landing spot, never met opposition on arrival or taken a casualty, did not make it uneasy. They were trivial concerns compared to the inconceivable power the master had shown them over and over. The power to loot the past and change the future. As the enforcer descended, a rush of warm air rolled up the steps, propelled by the pressure of a subway train moving in a tunnel beneath them. At the bottom of the stairway, subway riders starting up for the street took one look at the mass of hooded, menacing figures coming toward them and spun 180 degrees and fled in the opposite direction, scattering across the concrete concourse. The wide entrance floor was bisected by a barrier of stainless steel turnstiles and a security kiosk. On previous visits, they had paid to ride according to local custom. This time, however, the master was in a rush and waved for them to hurry ahead. The brethren started hopping the turnstiles, which brought a pair of uniformed NYPD transit police charging out of the kiosk to intercept them.
Stop!
Obviously intimidated by the size and number of the fare cheaters, the police drew their 9mm sidearms.
Stop or we'll fire!
Instinctively, the enforcer shielded the master from the flurry of bullets with its own body. The hits to its torso and back barely registered as such. Its armored endoskeleton deflected the projectiles from vital organs. One of the cops circled to the front, from his aim point, trying to line up a headshot on the master. Before he could fire, the enforcer shifted the precious dead weight to its left arm and hopped toward the policeman with both feet. The other cop staggered in retreat. Behind him, one of the brethren ripped a turnstile from its mounting and threw it at the cop's head.
Faster! Hurry!
They trooped down more flights of stairs. When they stepped onto the middle of the subway platform, the nearest waiting commuters hurried for the other exits. On the opposite platform, a crowd stared at them uneasily. The air smelled of ozone and rat feces in the steady breeze, and down the dark tunnel, the headlight of the train was racing toward the station. The doors to all the cars slid open, and commuters flowed onto the platform, moving quickly past the enforcers, looks of astonishment on their faces. When the brethren entered the middle door of a car, they forced a mad exodus of riders out either end.
Put me down.
The enforcer obeyed at once, carefully lowering the half-man, half-machine to the floor of the car. As it did so, another train going the other way came to a stop at the opposite platform.
Warning, the train doors are about to close.
Don't look in the other train!
It was too late. One of the enforcers had already turned its head. The train opposite was only a few feet away. Plates of grease-smeared window glass faced each other across the narrow gap. The enforcer blinked its eyes and immediately turned back. With a lurch, they accelerated away from the station. The two trains had been side by side for only a second or two, but the afterimage of what the enforcer had seen through the hazy windows was burned into its mind. Standing in the aisle of the opposing train, it had seen itself, the master, and the others, even the two brethren who had fallen. As Veronica and the characters were running up the street, she could hear more police on the way. Their response would be the Emergency Service Unit, ESU, New York City's version of SWAT. That was not a good thing. Though Eyepatch and the rest were running hard, they kept looking around. They seemed disturbed, even apprehensive about the surroundings, the people, the traffic, the city's skyline. A half block ahead of them, the monsters had poured down the steps to the West 4th Street subway entrance. They paused at the edge of the stairs.
Why are they running from us? They're stronger. Even without blasters. Why are they not stand and fight?
No one answered him. Hat and glasses guy was staring up at the tall wall-to-wall buildings, as if he'd never seen the like before.
Dark night, this isn't Deathlands. Where in nukin' hell are we?
We're in New York, JB.
We've been here before.
Eyepatch's attention was focused on the traffic on the street beside them. He seemed to be looking from one license plate to another.
What year is this?
It's 2001.
By the three Kennedys, we have jumped back in time.
You're from the future, then?
What month and day is it?
It's January 19th. Why? Do you people have somewhere more important to be?
Any place but here and now would be just fine. At noon tomorrow, the world ends.